Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Minions, welcome to the show. Hello, America. Hello, hello, hello. It is Thanksgiving week, our I guess you could call it our Thanksgiving episode. I tell you what, I hope everybody's got a big Thanksgiving planned. I do, and I we had to go out and thank you, Michelle, which is also our producer and social media director, but she's also my lady. And I tell you what, she went out yesterday and picked up two big old turkeys for Thanksgiving, and we are looking forward to that. And, you know, I realized when going to cook two big turkeys, you know, I don't have enough oven space for that. So we had to get a roaster and all that, but it's going to be fun. I hope everybody has some of their good Thanksgiving traditions. We'd love to hear about them, actually, if you want to tweet us at T-Balance. You can do that, your Thanksgiving traditions, or post them on our Facebook. Just go to Facebook, search The Balance. And by the way, if you're not a Minion, that's the place to do it. We've got a very lengthy qualification process with a very long waiting list. But when you go to The Balance and you click like, you can skip all of that and become a Minion instantly. It is that simple. And we'd love to have you as a Minion. We'd love to hear about your family Thanksgiving traditions. Perhaps maybe your family gets together and it's always a disaster. We've always got those family horror stories where things happen at Thanksgiving. But hey, it's family and it's football and it's beer and it's turkey. And really, does it get any better than that? Got a day off from work and you can just you know, in spite of it all, you're thankful to have your family. And you know, that's what I'm most thankful for is my family. And you know, we're going to have about I'd say probably 30 people there, maybe a little bit less. We're all gathering at my brother's house, and it should be a good time. I'll tell you something else. And you know what? Let me get a chance to point this out here, a shameless plug, if you will. My family, my brothers, all the men, well, not all of them, because there are some holdouts that didn't want to do it. But we have a few men in my family that are doing the No Shave November. Perhaps maybe you have a situation with your family that you guys do, but this No Shave November, I think it's going to become a new family tradition. And basically, maybe you've been watching the Today Show, and really it is for a good cause. It is a very good thing, and that's to bring awareness to cancer and not shave for the entire month of November. I suppose women could do it too, but not shave for the entire month of November. And, you know, we're going to have a group beard picture. I don't think we're going to be as bearded as the Duck Dynasty guys, but I think it's going to be fun. And so I'm in this No Shave November, and it's just something fierce. I'm not used to wearing facial hair. This is something new to me. In fact, I would say probably this is the first time in my life I've ever attempted a beard. I say the word attempt because it isn't working out too well. Well, it's you could tell that it's there, and you know, maybe I'll post some stuff on Facebook or Twitter. But you could tell that it's there, but I'm not like I said, a Duck Dynasty type of thing. I was not one of those men that was blessed with the ability to grow an abundance of facial hair. That's for sure. Well, maybe you got your Thanksgiving traditions, and, you know, certainly we would love to hear about it. Well, we got a great show planned for you today, Thanksgiving week. And you know what? By the way, I do want to make sure that everybody made it through the storms last week. If you remember last Sunday here in the Midwest, we had some whoppers, and I know over there in Washington, Illinois, our hearts go out to you, and, you know, and as you rebuild, an incredible storm went through there, and those of you that are on my personal Facebook know my weather video blogs I was doing. I was out there, and, you know, the storm was getting ready to come. I got the sirens, got the rain, but we didn't get anything but a lot of heavy wind. I'm a storm freak. I always am looking to get some good photographs of a tornado. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want any lives lost, and I know that it's bad for that and property losses, and, you know, certainly that's tragic, and that's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking to see a good old-fashioned tornado sweep across a cornfield. I know you farmers are saying to me, hey, that's our crops. Okay, so I can't make everybody happy. I just want to see a tornado. Maybe there's some tornado freaks out there. I'm not sure. We would love to talk with you about that. But certainly, 917-889-8516. We got kind of, well, I guess you could call it an open phone Saturday here for the first half hour on a rare occasion. You know, racing is pretty much it. We're going to talk about some racing. Juan Pablo Montoya moving over to IndyCar. We're starting to see some things shape together for IndyCar and getting together for the new road racing. As you remember, in May, we've got two races here with IndyCar, and that's exciting to see how that's going to all come together. And I'm excited to be there for the very first Indianapolis Grand Prix, and that is just going to be a fantastic thing. They just recently repaved the track for the street courses, so that's going to be interesting. At 9:30, President of Michigan International Raceway is going to, Roger Curtis, no stranger to us, good friend of the show here, is going to join us and talk with us a little bit about some of the things that they're doing for the holidays as well. 10 o'clock, Derek Schultz of Local 1260 of the Query and Schultz Show. He's out in New York, but he's given us a call for a few minutes. And Reggie Wayne was on his show this week, and I want to talk with him about that and the possibility of Reggie Wayne returning to the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, we're going to talk some NFL. At the bottom, our last segment, we always save the best for last, fantasy football huddle. We're going to get you all geared up and ready to go. Playoffs are just around the corner. Playoffs? Talk to me about playoffs. So, yeah, we've got kind of an open agenda here for the first half hour, 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516. Well, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and we'll talk about anything. We'll talk about the Pacers. If you want to talk about that, we'll certainly talk about that. We'll talk about if you want to talk hockey, you want to talk some college sports, of course, IU, good game, tight game yesterday, last night against UConn, so we can talk about that. Pretty much what I'm saying is we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, including what did the Fox say. I'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. The Fox say, hotty, 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 ho, hotty, 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 ho, hotty, 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 ho. What the Fox say? Yup, 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 yup.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Phew. Our first Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and I was really worried that we were going to ruin Thanksgiving, but yeah. Check out that turkey, huh?
Yeah,
check out the green beans.
Yeah.
Pies.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. I mean, I almost made it halfway through my book today.
Yeah, I saw you doing that.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, well, I'm going to go freshen up and just
yes.
pick up the house a little bit.
Mm, yeah,
so,
definitely. Hey,
okay.
High five. Okay.
High five.
Hey, and actually, take out the trash when you got some time. Let's just sneak in here.
Hello. Hi, darling. I brought the party.
Oh, good.
Jose! You brought those potatoes, right?
Even better, Brad. This is the best pizza in town. Look at this, man. It's awesome, man.
There's a piece missing.
I brought my pillow. I might have to stay like a night or two, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most, a month, you know.
Hi, love.
Hey,
love. Oh, good to see you.
Oh, my God. Something's burning.
Hi. You must be Billy.
Yes. Okay, whoa.
Honey, can you help me?
Oh, yeah.
It was about the size of this. I had a hemorrhoid, you know, so, but they took care of it. They just got it, the person, whoa, I think I got a little stain or something, but it's all right. It's my pillow.
Oh. Dude, this is great. We got this every night at the dorm, man. It's best pizza in town.
Do you think that a pizza is appropriate for things? No one is even eating my turkey.
My pizza was successful. Not your turkey. It's not my fault. Why are you so angry?
Why are you so mean to me? You're a bad brother, and you know what? You're adopted.
Hi, love. What
are you talking about? I talk just like my mom.
Mom,
look at us.
Come on, Mom.
You got the good juice.
No, I look like Dad.
Are you ready for the truth?
No.
Are you ready for the truth?
No.
Your mom, my mom, that is more my mom than yours, she thought she was infertile. So she went on a bunch of casual hookups. And she had a lot of casual sex. Here you came up. We've been trying to track it down, but we don't know.
Dad might not even be my dad.
Yeah, you might never know. You want some pizza?
It's called the Affordable Care Act, and thanks to it, I finally have insurance.
Hyla, if you had a real job, you'd have insurance.
I do have a real job, Mom. It's called being a self-employed artist.
You're a traitor to America. You deserve that.
That was a homemade pie.
I had a hemorrhoidectomy.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. Maybe that's the scene from your Thanksgiving. I hope not. It is Thanksgiving week. It is our Thanksgiving episode here on The Balance. What are you thankful for? We want to hear about it. I think what I'm most thankful for, I'm thankful for my family and also my minions that gather around me every week as we walk you through 2 hours of sports. And we bring you up to speed, and we talk about some of the biggest sports stories, and we have fun along the way. 917-889-8585. 5516 is my digits. My name is Sal Marquis, El Presidente. Our producer and social media director is Michelle Jones. And everything that we do on here, it belongs to us. And so we own it. So don't go out there trying to make my show your show unless you're going to pay me a handsome sum of money. That covers all our localities. Hey, welcome back. The balance. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. I also want to thank all of our listeners on Indiana Talks. We're on Indiana Talks every Saturday from 3 to 5. We look forward to our encore broadcast with them. And so, in other words, the episode that you're hearing now is going to be rebroadcast on Indiana Talks in its entirety as you hear it now. You know, this week we remember John F. Kennedy being assassinated. Maybe you remember where you were at then. I wasn't quite alive then. My father, though, was and remembers that time and talked about being in ninth grade. And, you know, different people throughout the social media yesterday was talking about where they were at when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. So we'd love to know if you were alive at that time, and certainly of that generation, of that era, that was equivalent to the 9/11. And you know, just the way the news coverage was, I had an opportunity yesterday afternoon to take a few minutes and watch on CBS.com. They did a special coverage of the JFK, just like it was broadcast back in the 60s. It was really kind of neat to watch. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get back on point here. You know, we were talking about IndyCar before the break and some of the changes that are going on with IndyCar. And one of those changes is Juan Pablo Montoya is moving from NASCAR over to IndyCar, and that's always a big adjustment. And he talks about that right here.
I think that the change going, you know, from stock car to an IndyCar, to be 100%, I think it's going to take a little bit of time to get up to speed. I don't think it'll be too bad. I'll tell you a funny story. First time I got in it, and before we did the seat fitting, I asked them, you know, I know they have a pit stop car, so can I sit on it? I sat on it, I'm like, oh my God, this is weird. So I think the weird factor will be probably the first morning, just getting acclimated. I think it's going to be so exciting because it's going to have, you know, tons of power, tons of grip, the braking, you know, going back to carbon brakes, all that, I think is going to be really exciting. Well, you know, tough things here next week, it's there's two sides of it. One is the excitement of getting in the final, getting in the car, the number one mechanic on the car, the car chief keeps, you know, it's like, I said, send me pictures of how the car is being built and everything, and he sends me pictures pretty much every day, and it's really exciting. As well, nerve-wracking, you know, it's time to go. So that's really exciting as well. With Will and Elliot, it's been good. You know what I mean? We haven't really talked too much because I've been, you know, I was finishing the NASCAR deal. So I did, you know, the day we made the announcement, I went to the shop. Will was there. I spent quite a bit of time with Will talking about the car and everything. As well, when we did all the measurements for the fire suit the other day and the last measurements for the belts and everything, I saw Elliot at the shop. I said, I said, I'm going to Miami. You're going to Miami? Come with me. So we rode together to Miami, and we talked a little bit about the cars, you know, a little bit about Will and everything. So it was good time.
Well, there you go. Juan Pablo Montoya talking about, you know, testing with IndyCar and some of the changes, making the change from NASCAR to IndyCar, and what a huge change that would be. Can you imagine going from NASCAR to IndyCar? Well, a lot have done it. Actually, it's been more the other way around. People have gone from IndyCar to NASCAR. You know, there's a lot of changes going on here in Indianapolis as we get ready for the very first. Indianapolis Grand Prix. There's going to be two races. I'm pretty excited about this. There's going to be two races in the month of May. I'm pretty stoked about it. Feature all your IndyCar drivers. You know, we've heard for years how IndyCar fans, they like the street races, and then they also like the oval races. Well, this is a good opportunity for you to get both in Indy, and check out IndianMay.com, www.IndianMay.com. Check that out. You know, also the fans actually have an opportunity to design the winner's trophy for that. And that's pretty exciting. We've got information on how you can do that up on IndianMay.com, www.IndianMay.com, also on our Facebook, IndianMay.com. You know, here's some other changes that are going on. And kind of an interesting move, if you will, by Sam Schmidt and his team and his group. For the first time, a Russian will be behind the wheel of an IndyCar in 2014, and I hope I get this right, but it won't be the first time that I mispronounce an IndyCar driver, Mikhail Ashlin, and I'll spell it for you, Mikhail Ashlin, has signed with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, joining in Simon Podestia. See, I'm on a roll today. Well, I guess she spent the last few years in the lower formulas in Europe, most notably in the Formula Renault 3.5 series. Russian will be signed with Sam Schmidt. So, interesting move there by Schmidt Motorsports, Sam Schmidt Peterson Motorsports, and first time we're going to see a Russian out there in IndyCar. So, you know, maybe some people might question that move, but certainly Sam Schmidt knows a little something about producing some good race car drivers, and he's always on the brink of things. We'd like to get your thoughts. If you guys want to talk to him IndyCar, you know, normally this is our racing segment, but this is kind of the off season. At 9:30, we're going to be joined here by Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway. We'll be talking about some of the things that he's doing, getting geared up for the holiday season, and also talk with him a little bit about the schedule, the 2014 schedule, and how you can get some tickets for that and all of that good stuff. And that's all coming up here, right here in just a few minutes. So, you know, also we're talking about IndyCar. Honda does some tests in the Sebring at Sebring International Raceway. A handful of Honda IndyCar Series teams took to the track for the first 2014 preseason testing, and testing Honda's new twin turbocharged engine. Where Ryan Hunter-Reay, Graham Rahal, and Carlos Munoz, and Ari Lyndon Jr., Simon Pagenaud, and Hunter-Reay gave the engine high remarks after the first day of testing, and mentioned that he was very, very impressed with that. And you know, Honda, we've looked at what, and we certainly, as our season moves along, we'll get into more of these manufacturer talks. But Honda has really been make a move in doing well in IndyCar, and so. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Are you strictly keep all the foreigners out of our race? Well, it's not really our race because, you know, it's pretty much all European drivers for the most part. We have a few American drivers in IndyCar, and certainly we have a lot more in NASCAR than we do in IndyCar. Very, very interesting on some of the developments of IndyCar. And I tell you what, you know, one of the things that IndyCar has been wanting to do for years is get their fan base back. And I think they're at least moving in the right direction. I think a lot of people, especially IndyCar fans, would go along with that. And we want to hear your thoughts. We got the new Indianapolis Grand Prix street race that's going to be going on. So if you like the street races going on here in Indianapolis in May, or if you like the oval course as well, guess what? We got something for you, too. Obviously, we call that the Indianapolis 500. Well, I tell you what, last night the Pacers and the Celtics, Brad Stevens had an opportunity to meet, you know, kind of his home team, the team that he likes, you know, that he can still consider, hey, when I'm a fan, I like to watch the Pacers. Obviously, we know Brad Stevens as being the former coach of Butler University and taking them to a few Final Fours and really putting Butler University, the Butler Bulldogs, on the map, and got a very good opportunity to coach the Boston Celtics. It was neat to see him on the sidelines last night. Of course, we looked at that, and what a great game by the Indiana Pacers. The Celtics really played a sloppy second half. That's about the time I had to call it a night and go to bed, because you know I have to get up early and lead my minions into the world of sports talk. So, you know, I can't stay up late at night. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm 45 years old. So, you know, But no, really, down by 8 points, the Pacers charge back for a 97-82 win Friday night behind 27 points. Paul George to improve the best record in the Eastern Conference. These Pacers are on fire. And I tell you what, I love to watch the Pacers too. I'm a fan of the Pacers. As you know, we flagship here in Indianapolis. And the Pacers are now 11-1. And they trailed at halftime at halftime. And the latest comeback, really, and you want to look at it, was helped by Boston's 16 turnovers and second half leading to 23 points. So if you watched the game, what were your thoughts about Brad Stevens being on the sidelines coaching the Boston Celtics? And I tell you what, it was really, really neat. Of course, Frank Vogel and Brad Stevens are friends. They know each other very, very well. And many times back in the days when Brad Stevens coached over at Butler, there's been talk about Frank Vogel giving Brad Stevens some pointers. Now, how many pointers he was giving him last night? Well, he was giving him pointers on the board, I guess, right? So it was good to see Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers go at it last night. Also, IU. You guys see that IU-UConn game? We'll try to get into some of that talk here if we have some time to get into some college talk. But, you know, it is College Saturday as well. So we'll try our best to get into some of those games, if at all possible. Certainly, coming up here at 9:30 in just a few moments, though, we're going to be joined by Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway. And we're also going to be, we'll try to get into some college talk after that. But, it's going to be a great day of sports. I'll tell you what, though, we are running up against time on the clock. We're going to go ahead to break, and we're going to go to take a break, and go to Elizabeth the Greek. When we get back, we'll be on the air with Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway.
Predictions.com and that, right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Martin.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is happening!
She's fresh, her voice is natural, and she does it simply.
It's time for...
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to...
All right, Elizabeth, we are looking at week number 12. Last week, you did good, really good again. You went 7-3.
That is a broken record.
I sound like a broken record? Well, you're 5 weeks in a row going 7-3. I mean, what are the odds on that? I mean, that's pretty darn good. Let's get right into it. Let's head down to the Big 12. We've got number 4, Baylor Bears, versus the number 10, Oklahoma State Cowboys. Who do you pick?
Cowboys.
You're going to go with the Cowboys on that one. Ooh. In the Big 10, we got a stinker fighting for the basement. Do you go for the Illinois Fighting Illini or the Purdue Boilermakers?
Purdue.
You're going to go for the Purdue Boilermakers. Another big one, well, of two ranked teams. In the SEC, we have the number 8, Missouri Tigers, versus the number 24, Ole Miss Rebels.
Ole Miss Rebels.
The Ole Miss Rebels, ooh. Out to the Pac-12, we've got the number 5, Oregon Ducks, and the unranked Arizona Wildcats.
Ducks.
You're going to go with the Ducks? Okay. And finally,
We have the unranked BYU Cougars and the unranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Fighting Irish!
Okay, move on to the NFL. First 1 o'clock game pits the Carolina Panthers versus the Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins. Another 1 o'clock game, we have the New York Jets or the Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens. Moving on to 4:30, we have the Indianapolis Colts or the Arizona Cardinals.
Indianapolis.
The Indianapolis Colts. Moving on to Sunday night, 8 o'clock, the Denver Broncos or the New England Patriots.
New England Patriots.
Ooh, you're picking the New England Patriots over your Denver Broncos? All right, and finally, for Monday night, we have the San Francisco 49ers or the Washington Redskins.
49ers.
The San Francisco 49ers. And who picked those?
Elizabeth the Geek. Make sure to like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGeek.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That's Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rich. I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation.
And on that note,
which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
My minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark Wessel, Presidente, Thanksgiving week. And I'm most thankful to have you, my minions, ready to go on Thanksgiving. I'm also thankful to have our next guest with us, Roger Curtis, President of the Michigan International Speedway. Roger, welcome back to The Balance on Thanksgiving week. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you. You're one of our favorite guests.
Wow, that's good to know. Thank you.
I say that to everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
I know you do.
Roger, I appreciate you joining us. And of course, it's Thanksgiving week, and we want to get into the reason why you called here in just a moment. But what are some of the Thanksgiving traditions that you share, and have they changed since you've been out there at Michigan International Speedway?
Wow. Well, now that I'm close to home, close to family, both my wife's family in Michigan and my family in Indiana, they usually all come up here and we cook and I make homemade noodles. I only make noodles one time a year and it's for Thanksgiving because they take quite a while. But we have nice turkey. I make the pies, the pumpkin pies, and homemade mashed potatoes. So it is a really good meal. I don't brag about myself very often, but I do know how to make a Thanksgiving dinner, that's for sure.
Well, I just want you to start filling out the adoption papers. I'm 45 years old, but I could still be adopted. No. Yeah, that's great. You know, I'm actually cooking the bird this year for my family. I got a very large family. There's going to be about 30 of us there, and I got two birds last night and realized, hey, I don't have enough oven space, so I had to go on Amazon and order a big old roaster last night. But we're all going to my brother's, So we'll probably play some football. And I'm doing this No Shave November. Maybe you've heard of it, but it's to raise awareness for cancer and you know, because cancer victims lose their hair. So this is just to not shave during the month of November. That's the first time I've ever wore facial hair. Now, I'm not that good at wearing facial hair anyway because I'm not blessed with the ability to grow a really good beard. So it's not anything like Duck Dynasty. But we're going to get together. All the men in my family have been doing this, and so we're going to get together for a Thanksgiving no beard picture. So we'll see how good it is. What I want to know is, are you going to dress up like Elvis on Thanksgiving?
No, I do that for New Year's for all the kids in the family. We put on a little Elvis show, but I'll be going to Vegas right after Thanksgiving, though. So I guess I could always wear it out there.
There you go. Well, the reason we had you on, and certainly not that we need to have a reason to have you on, you're always welcome here. But one of the things that I think is pretty cool out there at the Michigan International Speedway, we're doing some pretty cool things here in Indianapolis, but I know you guys also are doing a donated toy or non-perishable food, and you get to take a lap at MIS, and I know it's part of the MIS Cares. So talk with me a little bit about what MIS Cares, what it is, and what you guys are doing in this upcoming toy drive and charity drive that you're doing.
Sure. We started a charitable foundation a few years ago called MIS Cares and has its own board, and we raise money for local charities and entities that need some help and support. And, you know, we've got a fan base and a partnership base that goes across the state and into Canada and Ohio and Indiana. So we've got to raise a lot of money to try and help a lot of different people in all these different areas. And, boy, there's so many that need it, everything from, you know, a school that may just need a playground to a homeless shelter and everything in between. And you want to try and help everybody. And so we've done a great job. The fans have been really fantastic about helping support MIS Cares and the different fishing tournaments or golf tournaments or different things that we've done. And something that we started about 4 years ago, and unfortunately it always falls on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series banquet weekend out mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, so I have yet to be at one, but the rest of the team here does a great job of putting on a track drive where fans can come up and actually take their car out on the track. This year it's Saturday, December the 7th, and it's from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m., and all you have to do is bring a non-perishable food item or an unwrapped toy. And you get to take your car around the track. Santa will be out there. All kinds of great stuff going on.
Well, at highway speed, right? Not track speed, right?
Oh, I don't know. See, I don't ask. Don't ask, don't tell policy. I'm not here, so I don't ask, and they don't tell me what they do.
Right, and certainly the kids will have an opportunity to visit with Santa in the Michigan room. So certainly the kids need to bring their list out there, and really an exciting event that you guys are doing. Now, if you have any idea how much, or do you have an idea? Maybe is it true? Truckloads. How much do you guys typically raise with this event every year?
It's usually about half to three quarters of a semi truck full, and we help out about three different food pantries around the area. And I do want to put a quick plug in here for food
sure.
pantries in general to all the listeners, because everybody right now, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, everyone's talking about we got to help the food bank, and we're no different. We obviously are doing the charity drive. But, you know, when you go talk to the food pantries, they need food year-round. So when we get into the spring and summer and fall, please don't forget them during those times of year as well. So it's just, you know, we get in this spirit around the holidays, but they need help year-round.
Well, and I know last year was pretty successful for you as well. The charity track and toy drive helped numerous families throughout the area. The overwhelming support from the fans, you know, near and far for that matter, not that far from here in Indianapolis, allowed the track to fill a 15-foot foot truck twice with food for the Brooklyn Food Pantry, and a 26-foot truck with items for Toys for Tots, which is obviously always done by the Marines, and what a great thing they do. Talk with me a little bit about the Brooklyn Food Pantry there.
Well, they serve a lot of people, and really appreciative of all the efforts they've made. They just actually moved into a new facility, so we're excited to be bringing some truckloads of food to help them fill out the shelves there, and you know, MIS Cares is just, they've done such a great job every year. I think this year it was over $660,000, if I'm not mistaken, that was donated throughout Michigan and, like I said, parts of Ohio and Indiana and Canada even. We try and help support wherever our fans and partners come from. So was very excited, too. Most recently, we just donated $40,000 to the Michigan Science Center as part of our Michigan Heritage Program, which is a kind of like the BorgWarner, I guess, if you will, Stanley Cup. It's a new trophy that we developed this year to celebrate the manufacturers in NASCAR, and the winning manufacturer at MIS gets to keep the trophy, and they get their name on it, but they have to bring it back. And as part of that, to really keep the spirit of it going and celebrating the past of the automobile and then the current competition, we wanted something about the future. So we got each one of the manufacturers to throw in $10,000, and MIS puts in $10,000. So we've got $40,000 a year now as part of the Michigan Heritage that we're going to donate to a youth-related STEM science, technology, engineering, math organization. So the Michigan Science Center was the inaugural recipient a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to be excited about the support from Chevy, Toyota, and Ford doing that every year now.
Well, we're talking with Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway. What a great charity drive that they do every year. Now, is there any particular instructions that have to go along with the toys as far as, is there any certain types? Like a lot of charities, they don't want the war type of toys like guns, and they want them to be new and unwrapped. Are there rules that go along with donating a toy, or can someone just go to Toys R Us, pick up a toy, and drop it off?
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, obviously, I like people to use some common sense there and on what they're bringing in. But, yeah, just an unwrapped toy and a non-perishable food item would be fantastic. So that way we can take care of the kids and the folks that need some food as well. So yeah, stop by Toys R Us or Walmart, Target, whatever on the way up, and come on by out and like I said, see Santa and get a lap of the track and check out things for next year. Already working on some stuff, and you know, it never stops. When you own a racetrack that's got NASCAR coming and some of the other stuff that we do, it just never stops. And I counted the other day, we've had something going on at the racetrack 260 days this year, so it's pretty cool.
Well, I tell you what, you guys do a lot for that for the community, and we know and appreciate that. It's certainly a lot more than what a lot of tracks do, and you're very active on social media. I know MIS Cares is a donor advised fund of the NASCAR Foundation, which is a not-for-profit entity, and MIS Cares' mission is really to create a lasting positive impact on your community through charitable giving and volunteer efforts that really help the community grow. And I know in 2013 alone, MIS Care was responsible for about $76,000 in cash donations to local charities and grant programs, and another $60,000 was awarded through different sponsorships that you do. So, you know, hats off, Roger. You're doing a great job out there at Michigan International Speedway. Now, coming up in 2014, we know that you guys have, outside of all the great charity things you do, you've got some racing going on. Talk with us about the 2014 schedule and how people can get tickets early to go out there to, in my opinion, next to Indianapolis, the greatest racetrack to go to.
Well, I appreciate that, and I respect your bias. That's fine. It is. I have a great time up here. The track is fantastic. It's the fastest in NASCAR. We had two great races, as you know. Maybe the listeners don't know, but we repaved a couple years ago, so we've had four races. And since the repave, speeds of average speeds over 203, top speed about 225 going into turn one, and the racing has been wonderful. A lot of lead changes, a lot of different leaders. Joey Logano, Greg Biffle won this year, but just super events, and really excited. Next year will be Father's Day again, June 13th through the 15th. Nationwide Series will be with Cup that weekend, as well as ARCA, and then August 15 through 17, one of those key races, pivotal races as they get close to the chase and counting down who's going to make the top 12 there. So We'll have the truck series with them that weekend. So two great weekends. And the you know, our philosophy here is take care of your best customers, take care of your best fans. And we always do the lowest prices for our renewal guests and people who are putting down deposits now. We've got a very generous payment plan where basically all you have to do is put 10% down and you tell us when you want to pay the rest. And it's worked out great. And then our prices will actually go up the closer we get to the race because we want to reward those that are they're buying now, being loyal and supporting us. So if you do want tickets and you want the lowest price and take advantage of that payment plan, you can go online to mispeedway.com or you can call 800-354-1010. And if you're looking for some special packages, they're online too. We've got a great one with six-time winner Jimmy Johnson, champion, I should say. He has a great package out there. Involves a Q&A with kids, so you can bring your kids, and it's a great deal. And then we're new this year, we've got Danica Patrick has agreed to do some stuff, some meet and greets, and really excited about that. So two of the most popular drivers in NASCAR are helping us out with the fans and really appreciate their support and their time doing that.
Right, absolutely. Now, you know, I've asked you this before, and certainly it's an art of negotiation, but as IndyCar looks to extend their schedule in the coming years, are you guys trying to be in the conversation to bring IndyCar to MIS again?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to be. It's got to make sense financially for both sides. I mean, you know, they've got bills to pay. We've got bills to pay, so we need to make sure that to both sides, it's a win-win from a dollars and cents standpoint. But I think everybody, you know, drivers, the sanctioning body, us, the fans, I mean, we all would like to see MIS back on the schedule at some point in time. So hopefully we'll be getting some conversations going about, it certainly won't be 2014, but hopefully 15 or 16, we can start to have those conversations. I know the racing up here has always been one of the best every year, and you go back to any whatever the title was, the sanctioning body, and it was open wheel all the way back to USAC. They
right.
were just great races here.
Well, and I tell you what, you guys always put on a good race, no matter who is the sanctioning body, if you will. Certainly NASCAR is found a very good home out there. And, you know, Roush Racing located right around the base, right there close to you, aren't they?
Yeah, Roush, they're not too far away, and they always have a nice open house. I believe it's now I don't remember if it's June or August, but one weekend they have an open house. They bring all their drivers out, and fans can go out. And, you know, actually Roger Penske, his organization, I mean, their race shops are down in Mooresville, obviously, but Roger's got a lot of office space up here, and his drivers, this is always a big track for them to come up here, so... and then Brad, obviously being a Michigander, Keselowski, this is a big race for him. And sometimes I feel like he fills half our grandstand with friends and family. So thank you, Brad. So well, we're really excited about all the changes we've made the last few years. And we've talked on the show many, many times about the improvements in traffic that we've made, the family atmosphere, the kids 12 and under being free, the Wi-Fi that we added this year for the fans, and all the different things that the improvements we've tried to make to the facility, from pricing to capital improvements to the traffic and just the guest services and the feel. I mean, we're very appreciative, and I know I've told you before, I'm a race fan, and
sure.
Hopefully all your listeners know that, and growing up in Indiana, just a huge race fan, and so I sincerely, and this is very, very true, it's very genuine, I really appreciate the fact that fans choose to spend their time and their money with us. And I'm not just sitting up in the office counting money and how much did we make off of them. We're trying to reinvest and trying to make a great experience
right.
for them.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you what, you guys have a beautiful track, and it's a camping is just really, you can't get any closer camping. And be, you know, it just you guys have your own campground out there. It is just a beautiful track to go out there and look at. Now, as you mentioned, you're going out to Vegas. They're going to crown Jimmy Johnson. Imagine that. Deja vu.
as the NASCAR champion. But in a lot of ways, Jimmy Johnson, I think maybe, well, this is going to come out wrong because he earns it every year. But a lot of people might think that Jimmy Johnson's kind of the favorite child in NASCAR. And of course, NASCAR fans have their drivers, and they either love or hate Jimmy Johnson. It seems like the more you win, the more they hate you for whatever reason. Or if you don't win, they hate you. So they want you to be somewhere in the middle there. But Jimmy Johnson gets another great championship out there in NASCAR. So as you look at NASCAR from 2013 and moving into 2014, what are some of the things that stand out to you this past year as a recap, if you will, and going forward into 2014?
Well, I greatly appreciate Jimmy Johnson and what we're watching here and the history. And I got to say something I never really thought about this, but I heard someone talking the other day, and they said, you know, Richard Petty stopped winning championships when Dale Earnhardt arrived. Dale Earnhardt stopped winning championships when Jeff Gordon arrived, and Jeff Gordon stopped winning his championships, hasn't won another since Jimmy Johnson got on the scene. Who's going to be the next guy that stops Jimmy Johnson? And I really started thinking about that. And, you know, minus a one-off here or there throughout all these years of NASCAR, there has been predominantly a driver-team combination that has won a majority of the championships. And, every now and then a Tony Stewart or a Bill Elliott or Cale Yarbrough slips in there. But you look back at what that person was saying, I was like, wow, that's really true. So I greatly appreciate what Jimmy's doing right now. And, I understand why some fans say, oh, man, I'm tired of, sixth time, but I think history will look more kindly on what we're witnessing right now than the current time. But Jimmy's a great guy, well-deserved championship. I thought NASCAR did a lot of improvement this year. I think they know there's still some more that they need to do. I'm really excited about some of the things I'm hearing about the new formatting for qualifying that they're going to roll out at all the tracks. And hopefully they're going to make that announcement soon. I just keep hearing rumblings, but I think it's going to be really cool. The Gen 6 car was awesome. They got the manufacturers pumped up. It looks like the showroom model now. I thought the racing was better at times. I think we all will admit some of the mile-and-a-half tracks, not all. I thought Miami, Atlanta, Miami was a great race. Atlanta was terrific. So there's some work they need to do at some tracks still, but, that R&D center they've got down in Charlotte, they've got some great people down there now with Steve O'Donnell. They've got a new vice president of innovation. I think they're looking at a lot of different things that they could do. And when 2015 rolls around with the new TV deal, I think we're going to see even some more changes and maybe even some schedule changes. Who knows? But I'm really happy because NASCAR recognizes, hey, we don't want to shake up the sport. We don't want to become professional wrestling, but we do need to make some tweaks. And if you look at the history of every major sport, everybody makes tweaks every now and then for the different generations to keep the sport relevant. So I applaud them. That's a big change for a family-owned business, if you will. For many, many decades, it's been the France family. And so for a family-owned business to say, hey, we really need to take a look at doing something, I applaud them for that. And I think it's going to pay off hugely for them with TV ratings and attendance the next couple years.
Well, absolutely. It's going to be exciting to see it. And one of the some other changes as we see in driver changes and moving around, obviously Tony Stewart gets a new crew chief and a new driver. Kevin Harvick obviously left Richard Childress his last race out at Miami Homestead, moves over to Tony Stewart, another guy that you're very familiar with and like very well and up from around that area, well, at least South Bend, Indiana anyway, is Ryan Newman leaving Tony Stewart. We don't know exactly where he's going yet, and as he told me here in Indianapolis, when he knows, we'll know. So, and you look at some of those changes. Any thoughts as to where Ryan might end up with, and how Kevin will do there at Tony Stewart and with the new crew chief, and with Tony obviously coming back after a crash that he had. Again, we could get into that debate, but racers love to race. But maybe he shouldn't have been in that race car to begin with. But I'm not one to tell Tony Stewart that. But at the same time, there's a lot of changes going on in the Stewart camp. Ryan Newman is obviously moving out of that camp. We don't know where.
Well, Ryan's going to be at Richard Childress Racing, and I think he's going to do an amazing job over there. I think we already saw his performance the last third of the year dramatically improved, you know, making the chase, having some good top 10 runs. He maybe didn't have the chase that he had wanted, but it still, it just was almost like a weight lifted off his shoulders when, and I know it was an odd departure, the way it went down, and parting ways, and then saying, well, we're not going to have another team, and then to go get Kurt Busch over there at Stuart Haas. And, but I think that was part of the drama that Ryan was just really excited to get away from. And no offense to Tony, but, you know, drama is part of our sport and internal politics, so as any sport. But I think Ryan's going to be really great with Richard Childress. Richard's a great, great car owner. I think Tony's going to rebound and come back strong. I think he's very determined to get out there and win some races. And, you know, that's the thing people forget, too. Before Tony's accident in his open wheel car and his sprint car, he was not having the best of years. You know, he had that Dover victory, but that was kind of handed to him when Jimmy jumped the restart. So it wasn't like Tony was a house of fire this year since he won his championship a couple years ago. So this is going to be a really big 2014 season for Tony, for the whole team, for Stuart Haas, but I think specifically for Tony to go out there and prove that he can still win some races and compete for another championship.
Right. We're talking with, and I totally agree with you, we're talking with Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway. It's our Thanksgiving edition, and we appreciate Roger taking some time to join us today. Roger, any final thoughts, anything that we haven't asked you, anything that you'd like to talk with us about?
Well, just how much I appreciate the fans and all the listeners and having an interest in the sport. And, you know, it's great. I know it's we're in the quote-unquote off-season now, but, you know, the engines will be firing up again real soon. And whether it's IndyCar racing, NASCAR, drag racing, supporting your local short tracks, the sprint cars, the stock cars, whatever it may be, just really appreciate all the fans and them, like I said, giving their time and their money. The economy certainly is getting much, much better than it was, but, hey, I know things can still be tough out there, and so really appreciate it. So that's my thanks here on the Thanksgiving show. I'm giving thanks to all the great race fans down in Indiana and throughout the entire Midwest and Canada. Really appreciate their support over the years, and hopefully we'll see a bunch of them out here in 2014 at MIS camping out with us and having a good time.
Well, it is certainly my intention to make it up there in 2014 to one of your races. And I know you're very active on social media, so where can people follow you or stalk you on social media?
Oh, wow. So, yeah, they're going to see some really cool stuff in Vegas, I'm sure, here in a couple of weeks. So they can go to @MISRoger and @MISSpeedway on Twitter. We're also both on Facebook. And then if you want to just send me a regular old email, you can do that at askthepresident@mispeedway.com. I answer each one of those personally as well. So love interacting with the fans, so don't be bashful about sending an email or a tweet.
Well, we'll have to have you on sometime after Vegas, and you have to tell us if you woke up with a tiger in your room or something.
Very well. I'm sure you'll see pictures of that if I do. So.
All righty. So you have yourself a safe trip and a good Thanksgiving, and we'll be talking again in 2014.
Awesome. Same to you and all the listeners out there. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, thank you. Roger Curtis, always fun having him on, the president of the Michigan International Speedway. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. Thanksgiving right around the corner. We'll be right back with Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show at 1260 AM. Talk a little bit about his recent interview with Reggie Wayne of the Indianapolis Colts. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
What the hell is that? It's a turkey. His name is Gobbles.
Garage!
And...
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark with Seattle Presidente. We're standing by for Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show, 1260 AM, here local in Indianapolis. You know, recently this past week, Reggie Wayne made a visit to his show and was talking a little bit about his comeback and his return, and we want to talk with him about that when he calls in. Hopefully we'll have him here in just a moment. I know he's out in New York, so we're standing by to have him give us a call, and then coming up here at 10:30, guys, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be jumping right into Fantasy Football Huddle. What fun that interview that was with Roger Curtis. He never lets us down. Always a great interview, and we put all the information about the MIS Cares and how you can get involved with that and get involved with his with the charity drive that they're doing out there at the Michigan International Speedway. And we would hope that you get involved with that. Again, we're standing by for Derek Schultz. My name is Tom Marquis, and normally we would just jump right into the NFL talk, so we are going to do that. Certainly, we want to talk about the Colts. The Colts, it's going to be a good game, probably an emotional game on a lot of ways coming up here this weekend in Arizona, where they'll be taking on the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, as you remember, Bruce Arians just really stepped in no self-gratification or anything. He wasn't trying to get a head coaching job. And, in fact, at that time he probably thought that he was just going to stay with the Colts. And a good opportunity arose for him to coach the Arizona Cardinals. And they got some great talent out there. And so it's going to be a good opportunity to reconnect with Bruce Arians. And, you know, it's always good when you see these people that just did a great job for your team and do well in other teams and other areas. So, you know, we look at Peyton Manning, for example. We love Peyton Manning here in Indianapolis, but, you know, he moved on. It was his time to move on, and we love watching the Denver Broncos. I try to watch the Denver Broncos every week now by association of being a fan of Peyton Manning. We're standing by for Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show on 1260 AM. He did just text me to say he'll be calling in just a moment, so we'll get him on here, and we'll talk about Reggie Wayne and him being on his show this week as well. Well, I tell you what, as we look into the NFL, it's been kind of a crazy year, and we'll probably get into some of this conversation a little bit deeper in the Fantasy Football Huddle, but man, it's been a crazy year for teams, for players, you know, it's just kind of wacky. You've seen some weird injuries. Of course, we've seen some off-the-field incidences with the incognito issues and, you know, some other things that have happened in the NFL and what's been going on there. So
I'm trying not to get, you know, I'm trying not to get into too deep of a conversation because we are waiting on Derek. Fashionably late, though. I like Derek, and his show's got a great show here in Indianapolis. Certainly, we want to hear you got some thoughts maybe about Reggie Wayne. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about the Colts and the Cardinals? We're open to that. We're open to talk about any NFL team. Obviously, the Lions doing a great job. Who would have ever thought coming up at Thanksgiving? Talking about our Thanksgiving show. Talk about our Thanksgiving show. The Detroit Lions every year play on Thanksgiving, and typically they lose. This year might be a different story. Well, we're still standing by here for Derek Schultz here. So if you guys got – we do have him now. Okay. Hi, is this Derek?
Yeah.
All right. We got you. I know you're out there in New York and you're out there in the Big Apple living it up. You're out there visiting family, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm actually – I'm in Connecticut, so I'm a stone's throw away. We're about an hour out of New York City, but I'm taking advantage of my parents, and they just made breakfast, and we went into the city to see – some of the tournament with IU and Washington and UConn, and we're just going to stay the weekend and then come back to Indy. So it's nice to get the chance to go back, go to the Garden, see a couple games, and it's been a good time.
Oh, yeah, great game last night. Were you at that game last night, the UConn
IU game? We only got Thursday tickets, but my brother-in-law is a UConn alum, as is my sister, and we watched the game with my sister and brother-in-law, and then my dad, who's an IU alum. So it was extremely awkward for about 2 hours there. But, you know, he got to wear a UConn sweatshirt and rub it in my face. So I'm sure he'll continue to do that all weekend.
Well, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what, it's Thanksgiving weekend. You know, we've been talking about Thanksgiving and sports. Any particular Thanksgiving traditions that you have every year? Are you going to do Thanksgiving while you're there with your family and then just kind of have a more intimate one, I guess, is the way to put it when you're back home, or how are you guys going to do that?
Yeah, we're going to have kind of a Thanksgiving-y sort of dinner tonight because we're not going to be able to get back next week. And, you know, generally just having the game on has been the Thanksgiving tradition. It's probably the only time every year that I watch the Lions play, or at least for the last 20 years it's been the only time that I've watched the Lions play. And, you know, we're a football family just like anybody else, and you have the game on in the background, and you're kind of in and out, and you watch a little bit, and then you go eat, and then you come back, and you watch a little bit more, and then you go eat again. So that's kind of always been the tradition for us. But now with you got the doubleheader, and now a lot of times the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving, and then you've got the night game as well. You've added more football into the equation. What I really miss about Thanksgiving week is those great rivalry games that used to be sometimes on Friday. Remember, like, Nebraska would play Colorado when they were both in the same league, and that was a big rivalry in the 90s, and then you had A&M playing Texas, and it's just, you know, it's kind of sad now that you go through and all those rivalries are dead because of the conference expansion and everybody's moved on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you mentioned the Detroit Lions. For once, we're actually going to probably be a good chance anyway. We'll see the Detroit Lions actually win on Thanksgiving. It was the last time we got to talk about that. Well, you know, one of the reasons I had you on the show today, not that we really need to have a reason because you're always welcome on the show, but I know that here this past week you had a good opportunity on your show, the Query and Schultz show on 1260 AM here in Indianapolis, to talk with, well, not only Reggie Wayne, but Andrew Luck and where they're at right now. Certainly they meshed well, and one of the main reasons that Reggie Wayne stayed was obviously because of Luck and where that team was going, and what a great leader that Reggie Wayne was. And I want to talk with you and pick your brain a little bit about that interview that you had with Reggie Wayne and Andrew Luck. Let's talk about Reggie Wayne. How's he doing? How's his spirits? What's he saying about coming back to the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, his spirits are way up now, Tom, because I think that he's finally accepted the fact that, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. My season's over, and I'm just going to have to make the best of my situation. There was a time period there immediately after the injury, and you remember after the Denver game, they went right into the bye week, that he said that he was just really depressed and barely even got out of bed for 3 or 4 days because, you know, this is a guy that had made almost 200 consecutive starts. He hadn't been hurt since his rookie year in 2001, so it's not something that he was used to having happen to him, have his season be over like this in a flash. But I think he's come around to the fact that I can help the team in other ways outside of being there on the field. And he goes to the team meetings. He's in the film sessions. And this is kind of an unprecedented thing for the Colts, because under the previous regime, let's say it was Edgerrin James, remember in 01 he blew out his knee, or Dwight Freeney with the foot injury in 07 or 08, whenever that was. Once those guys got hurt and once they got put on IR, they were gone. They were in the wind. Edge would go down to Miami and rehab, and Freeney would go back home, and they would not be around the team anymore. That's just kind of the way that they did business. And originally Reggie told us that he was just going to go down to Miami and rehab. And what happened was Chuck Pagano and the Colts called him and said, basically, hey, we really need you to be around the team. You have to be there to be a leader and help us out. Can you come back to Indianapolis? And he agreed to come back to Indy to be kind of almost a pseudo coach and be part of the staff. And he stands there on the sidelines and he talks with the wide receivers and he talks with Andrew. And this is what I'm seeing, because you can really kind of survey the field when you're there on the sidelines, as opposed to where you're lined up and you're just focused on yourself. And he's just trying, I think, to make himself useful while he's hurt. I know that sounds crass, but that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to be in Miami just, you know, sitting on his couch watching from home. He wants to be around the team. And if he didn't, he wouldn't have come back. He would have just stayed in Miami.
Well, just kind of a bizarre thing of events of how that injury happened. And I know even if it wasn't public, it was certainly talked about and whispered that a lot of Andrew blamed himself a lot for that, and you can't do that. But then it just kind of happened in a weird situation that this wide receiver quarterback relationship really got tight very early. And obviously we know Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne were very close as well. That happened at a game that Peyton Manning had to witness it. So really, two of his good friends on the quarterback situation and on and off the field saw this injury happen, and there was nothing they could do. Did Andrew talk with you at all about that, or what was going through his mind at the time that injury happened?
No, it's not really something that we wanted to harp on. I was at the game, and then in the post-game press conference afterwards, he was asked about it and said he felt terrible. But we had talked to Reggie since then, and he had said that he put a kibosh on that real quick and basically took him and said, look, it's not your fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's this fluky thing. His foot got caught up in the turf, and that's the way injuries happen. Happens all the time. Look at what's going on with Derrick Rose with his knees. I mean, it just – there's no rhyme or reason to it sometimes. Sometimes you just get lucky, and you play 15 years, and you never get hurt, and sometimes you just have a problem, and – something weird happens, and that's what happened in this situation. So, no, it's not something that we harped on. I think Luck originally felt bad about it and then realized that this is just part of the game. He's still a young player and still kind of learning how things go. But it's one of those things. Reggie was very lucky to make 200 consecutive starts. There aren't a lot of guys that can say something like that. And to go a dozen years in between getting hurt, I think a lot of players – past and present would happily trade their situations for the injury luck, if you will, that Reggie Wayne has been able to enjoy during his career. So I think originally there were, especially in the immediate aftermath, there were feelings of guilt from Andrew about how that injury ended up happening with the throw that was behind Reggie Wayne. But I think that he's definitely gotten over it now. And it probably only took him a couple of days before he really made peace with the fact that, look, I really have no control over this.
Well, we're talking with Derek Schultz of the Schultz & Query Show, 1260 AM, certainly about his recent interview with Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne. And I promised you, Derek, I'd keep it to a very limited amount of time. The Colts go out to Arizona this week. They reunite with Bruce Arians. Obviously, again, you got to get past that reunion point. But when that happens, they shake hands, and you know, and maybe they'll go out for dinner or something tonight or something. But when that game starts tomorrow, not that Bruce is the enemy by any stretch of the imagination, but he is the other coach, and that is the other team. So the Colts have got to focus on beating the Arizona Cardinals. And even though it's a non-divisional game, You look at how well Tennessee played them. The Colts have got themselves into a situation to where it's almost come expected that the second half will be the game that they play. And I think that Bruce Arians obviously knows this team very well, and you would think that there's been some modification in plays and in the way that some of the things that he knows behind the scenes with these players. So my guess is this is going to be a tough game for the Colts in Arizona.
Oh, I 100% agree. I think this is a really sneaky tough game. You know, for as great as the Colts played in the second half against Houston and against Tennessee, let's face it, if we're being honest with ourselves here, Houston is awful. I mean, they've been one of the worst teams in the NFL for the last 2 months. They haven't won a game since week two. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee is just not a good football team. They're very mediocre at the very best. So the Colts were life and death, really, with two bad football teams, and they're 2-1 since the Reggie Wayne injury. So I think Arizona is really the first litmus test to kind of see where this team is at. And they're on the road. It's a tough trip. You have to go out west, 4 o'clock start, and the whole deal there. And the Cardinals have a really underrated defense. They're in the top 10 in yards per game. They're in the top 10 in scoring defense. And then if you go into the advanced metrics, they're number one in DVOA, which is a Football Outsiders metric that they use to evaluate teams on a play-by-play basis. So this defense is no joke. I mean, this is one of the best defenses, if not the best defense, that they're going to see all year and in a road game. So I completely agree with you. I think the three games remaining that the Colts are going to have the tough time with are the three road games, because you got to go at Arizona, you have to go at Arrowhead to take on Kansas City, and you have to go at Cincinnati, which is just going to be a massive game as far as tiebreakers are concerned and the AFC playoff seeding, because Cincinnati and Indy are both three games clear of their division, so you would assume that with six to play, they're going to cruise right along and make the playoffs and both be division winners. So, you know, beating Cincinnati could be the difference between them getting a 2 seed or a 3 or even a 3 and a 4, and that could really loom large in their chances to make a postseason run. But, yeah, getting to tomorrow's game, it's going to be a challenge, I think, for Luck to get the offense started quickly, because they've faced – far lesser defenses than this Cardinals front, and have really just struggled for long periods of time, whether it be the entire first half or, you know, 5 or 6 possessions before things really start to click for them. So it's been the same song and dance really week after week this entire season, that the Colts need to get off to better starts than what they've been able to. But especially given that it's a road game against a team that is right at the Colts level. You know, this isn't Tennessee, this isn't Houston, this isn't even St. Louis. This is a better team this is the best team they face since Denver. They just can't dig themselves into a hole again. It's unsustainable. You can't just keep doing this over and over and over again, especially when you're away from Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, I could have said it better myself. And, you know, really, again, the Colts currently 7-3 and owning a tiebreaker over the Patriots. That's not really a spot that we want to be at. So the thing is, in a lot of ways, going deeper in the big picture of things, this is a make-or-break game out there in Arizona. So we certainly hope that the Colts can get off to it. Well, I promise you that I'd let you go right after a limited amount of time. Anything that you would like to share with us about your interview with Reggie, or anything at all that we didn't ask you about or talk with you about that you'd like to bring to our attention, sir?
You know what? It was honestly, it wasn't even anything really that was in the interview as much time. It was just the fact that seeing those two interact with each other in person was really cool. I mean, you talked about the relationship that they've been able to build and the rapport they've been able to build with each other. It was apparent. I mean, and really, these are two guys that couldn't really be more different. I mean, Reggie Wayne is a 13, 14-year veteran. He's a dozen years older than Andrew Luck, and here's Andrew, this kind of nerdy Stanford kid that likes to play board games, and they're laughing with each other and joking back and forth, and they're talking during commercial breaks and giving each other a hard time, and I just thought that was the most eye-opening thing of all. It wasn't really what they said while we were on the air. It was what they did, both while we were on and off the air, and you could really see the friendship, not only on a football level, but just on a personal level. Those two guys just have, it sounds cliche, but a huge amount of respect for each other. And it's no secret why I think things have been able to work so well for Andrew here in his short tenure in the NFL. It's because you've got a guy that's a fellow leader like Reggie Wayne that is completely on the same page with him.
Well, absolutely. We appreciate you joining us. Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show, you can catch him every afternoon. Is it, you start at 3? I mean, usually at the office when you start, is it 3 that you start?
Yeah, you got it, 3 to 7.
3 to 7. I listened to you on the way home, so I know you're on at least between 6 and 7. I just can't remember exactly what time that you started. Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show, 1260 AM here in the Indianapolis market. Certainly talk a lot about the Colts and the Pacers. Great game, the Pacers, last night, Derek, against the Celtics. Good to see Brad Stevens out on the court. It was the first time I actually got to see him coach a game. We don't have time to get into that, but I appreciate you taking time with us. Enjoy your time with your family and Thanksgiving, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Happy holidays. Thanks for everything.
All right, buddy. Derek Schultz of the Schultz Aquarius Show on 1260 AM locally here in Indianapolis. Great guy. Enjoy talking with him, and certainly I've got to know him over the years, and he's a good guy. And appreciate the time that he came on to talk with us. It was good to see Reggie Wayne and Andrew Luck doing that interview together, and good job on them, unable to land that interview together. And really, what he was talking about, hey, Reggie is not necessarily an injured player. What he is an advisor or a consultant, or maybe you would even say a without the title, a member of the coaching staff. And he's in the meetings, and he's helping break down tape, and he's on the sidelines. And what a great leadership role when you've got an injured player like that. And I think that's one thing that makes the Indianapolis Colts a lot stronger of a team. And you heard Derek say it, and I certainly agree with him 100%. This is a going to be a tough game for the Colts to win. They have to win this game, not necessarily to get into the playoffs, but it certainly could make a difference in home field advantage and the seeding. And like we said, we're in a situation now where we own the tiebreaker over the New England Patriots. And as we know, the New England Patriots every year seem to give us a problem and have given us a problem in the postseason many, many times. So we hope Andrew Luck can get out there and get things started going early to do that. So, hey, what a game out there. We're talking about going around the NFL. We'll get into some fantasy football talk here in about 10 minutes. Axel's going to be joining us. I think maybe possibly Todd the teacher, but definitely Axel. Jared Calhoun has some family stuff going on, as I'm sure a lot of people do this week. Again, this is our Thanksgiving episode, and so I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. New Orleans, out there in Atlanta. I don't know how impressed I am with the Saints this year. I don't know that they've really played that good. I don't know that they've played what we would call Saints football, and I don't know that Drew Brees is. You can blame Drew Brees, but you look at Atlanta. And yes, they got a good win, but that was not a win's a win and win, and a pretty win or not, it's still a win. But 17-13, a game. I don't know. Maybe you got some thoughts. We've got some time here if you want to talk, and certainly if you want to jump in on the fantasy football huddle. We're getting to that point where playoffs are coming up, and don't make me say it again. Playoffs. Let's talk a little bit about some of these games going around the league here as we go around the league. We look at the Jets in Baltimore tomorrow at 1:00. Should be a good game. Again, you talk about a team that controls their own destiny. And what about those Buffalo Bills? And we'll get into this in a few minutes on the defense. Wow, those Buffalo Bills had a fantastic defensive game, and I tell you, who would have ever thought we'd have been talking about the Buffalo Bills, and possibly being in the playoffs? We don't know yet, but certainly they're right there in the hunt for a wild card type of deal, And so it's a bit of a wacky year, as I have said, this has been a very, very wacky year for the NFL, and just being able to predict games. Like we talk about the Chiefs, wow, Andy Reid leaving Philadelphia Eagles, going over to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 9-1, beat only by the Broncos. So you want to look at the Broncos 9-1. Also, you would think they're going to get the number one seed, and here we go. It's right there. The Colts in the number two seed. We're 7-3 with a tiebreaker. You look over there, and this is just kind of a a situation to where I'm putting some input here, but if we were looking at where the playoffs are, and you were to project some, the Seahawks 10-1, the Saints 9-2. We just talked about the Saints really not playing that good, and they could probably end up being the number two seed if it was to project it out, and it was to, the playoffs were to happen today. And then those in the wild card hunt, and like I mentioned a while ago, the Patriots 7-3. We own the tiebreaker over that. The Jets 5-5. They could get a sixth seed there, and the Patriots get a third seed on the wild card. And you look at the Chiefs, and they're 9-1, but they right now they could end up with, which is kind of a little bizarre, because what you've got to look at is the strength of schedule and different things on how they come up with this. But certainly they would be right there in the wild card hunt. You look at the Bengals. The Bengals, again, a team that we probably weren't talking about, but a team that's very, very strong, has given and probably will give the Colts a run for their money. So the Colts have to put together a win streak to really do well in the playoffs, and it all comes down to seeding. It all comes down to seeding. And then you look over, if we look at the wild card, if we look over there on the NFC side, the Lions are 6-4, and so they could easily get a wild card there. And of course, the 49ers could probably get a sixth seed. They're 6-4 right now. The Panthers 7-3, and then we look at the Eagles. We talked with Ed Kratz. Those Eagles turned their season around, and they control their own destiny, 6-5, and they could probably, end up with a wild card as well type situation with a four seed. And so, and you look at teams that are in the hunt. Those Titans are in the hunt. The Raiders, the Dolphins, Steelers, all of those teams could make a very miserable day, if you will, to some of the teams that we just mentioned. Talk about the NFC over there, the Cardinals. Cardinals, again, this is one of those you could actually say that tomorrow, the Colts and the Cardinals, you could say this is a playoff game. Technically, no, it's not a playoff game. We're not in the postseason yet. But you could say this is as close to a playoff game the Colts are going to get to right now. Must win, win or go home? No, but it certainly is going to play a major role, and whoever wins this game is going to really have a situation where they can launch themselves into the postseason. They're 6-4. They could go in as a 7 seed. Then we look at the Bears, 6-4 as well as an 8 seed. Of course, the Bears dealing with their injury with Jay Cutler, and they got kind of a quarterback situation going over there. Now, I don't know how confident that I am in the Bears at 6-4. The Cowboys, 5-5. I'm not that impressed with the Cowboys. I don't know that they're going to go anywhere. There's a lot of talk about them because they're the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of people are talking about, hey, the Cowboys. Same thing with the Packers. I mean, I like the Packers. If I had to choose between, as a fan, which team I like more, I certainly like the Packers over the Cowboys. I despise the Cowboys, and just on so many levels for so many reasons, and just their ownership, their management, their leadership on the field. There's just so many reasons not to like the Dallas Cowboys. And I know that a lot of people, don't be bashing my Cowboys. Well, they bash themselves. Well, that's another conversation for another day, I guess. 917-889-8516 is my digits if you want to get with me and talk some football. We'd love to talk with you. If you want to get your fantasy football all set up, we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. Axel's going to be calling in here, and we're going to be talking with him about that. So, a lot going on here in the next 30 minutes. Thanksgiving. I do want to hear what your Thanksgiving traditions are. Do you play football? we have a football game. I may have to be the ref this year, but we have a football game every year and with my family, and we get out there in the yard, and we've got a lot of young kids, and so they like to play football. And then Chris, me and my brothers, we all played football in high school and stuff. So, you know, we kind of get out there and roughhouse a little bit, nothing too serious. Do you have a tradition like that? We would like to know. You can certainly post it on our Facebook. And, you know, just go to Facebook, search The Balance. We're right there, real easy to find, and become a minion. We'd love to have you, and we're certainly very, very thankful for our minions. Also, again, if you can follow us on Twitter, we've got some other things that we have going on here under the umbrella of The Balance. We've got IndyProSports.com, which we're based here in Indianapolis. So what we do on that website and in that fan page is we really focus in on the professional sports in and around Indianapolis, the Pacers, the Fever, the Colts. You know, we've got a brand new professional soccer team called the Indy 11. Of course, the Indianapolis Indians, which is the AAA affiliate team for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So we talk a lot about on that. And then we've got IndianMay.com. Now, if you like IndyCar, that's predominantly what we do. We talk a lot about IndyCar, the 500, IMS, a lot of stuff that really is circled around IndyCar. Now, we throw a little NASCAR in there from time to time, but for the most part, for IndyCar fans, IndianMay.com is your spot. We've got a Facebook fan page there. Again, IndianMay. And then, of course, if you're a baseball fan, we don't have a fan page there, but as you know, we host a show called The Hot Corner on Thursdays during baseball season. So we'll be bringing that back. And, of course, at 2 Hot Corner on the Twitter there, if you're a baseball fan, we've got something that's exclusively for baseball. And then, of course, right here where it all is, the mothership of them all, The Balance. You follow us on Twitter at TBalance. Or on Facebook, The Balance, and just become a minion. Well, guys, I'll tell you what, we're having a great time on our Thanksgiving episode. Maybe you guys have some Thanksgiving traditions that you do as well. Well, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break, and when we get back here, we're going to jump kind of right into the fantasy football huddle. Axel's going to be joining us. And if you want to talk fantasy football, my number is 917-889-8516. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
What the hell is that? It's a turkey. His name is Gobbles.
Gobbles!
And...
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back!
You like that, don't you?
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
All right, welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name is Saul Marquez, El Presidente. We're on the final leg of today's show, our Thanksgiving show, and it's Fantasy Football Huddle. Joining us, a friend and fantasy football guru is going to walk us through the next half hour with me, and I'm thankful to have him as a friend, Mr. Axel. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You sound like you're still asleep. Did you just wake up?
I guess I did.
Dead giveaway, sir. Dead giveaway. Well, that's our Thanksgiving episode. We've been talking with everybody today about some of their Thanksgiving traditions. Any Thanksgiving traditions that you have as a family that you want to share with us?
No, just eat lots of food.
Hey, that's food and football. That's Thanksgiving for you. Well, let's talk a little bit about some fantasy football. We were looking at certainly, guys. If you want to give us a call, 917-889-8516. If you got some fantasy football questions for myself or Axel, we get everybody ready to get their lineup set. So if you've not set your lineup, you can listen to us and we'll get you going in the right direction. Perhaps maybe. You know, I'm in four different leagues, and one of my leagues, as I've mentioned on the show several times, is the team I'm in at my office, which is 16 teams deep, Axel. So, really, when something goes wrong, it goes wrong really hard and really bad. It's hard to pick anybody up off the waiver wires. So, I'm basically sitting at a 2-7 record right now over there at my work league. And then, of course, you and I play in a league together. And then there's the balance league. I'm at 500 there. So, and then I'm in one other league as well. Now, that one's more for just fun, so I don't really care so much about that one. But a lot of people, we're looking to the situation where now perhaps the playoff pictures are starting to become probably clear, if they're not already clear, in your fantasy football league. So we'll kind of just use as a point of reference the league that you and I are in together, Chad. We look at how that league is shaping up, and certainly feel free to throw me under the bus if you want. But we got a league that you and I are in together, and as we come to a close of our season and the playoffs pitchers are coming into the hunt, what are some of the things that you're looking at your team on fantasy football?
Well, I mean, it's been a whole season of regret for me. I mean, I'm third in that league with a 5-6 record. That's mediocre at best. And if you can imagine you are third in a 10-team league with a 5-6 record, you can imagine how the league is. I mean, there are at least five players with a 5-6 record. So from third on to the third onwards to the seventh, I think, all of them have 5-6 records. And so it's like anybody can get in the playoffs, and I need to make a run myself. And to this day, I still regret signing up for the draft about 2 minutes late when Otto picked Doug Martin for me. My first choice in two other leagues I was part of was LeSean McCoy. And ever since I picked Doug Martin, I've had to compensate. Doug Martin underachieved then, went on IR, then his replacement, Mike James, now he's on IR, and it's been a Russian roulette. I mean, that basically had ripple effects, and Steven Ridley was my second-round pick. So how well you do with your first two picks goes a long way towards winning or dominating your league. And, well, I was doing some homework with my little daughter, so I don't regret doing that part before I missed my first 2 minutes of my draft. So
I understand.
It is what it is, right?
Well, did she get an A on her paper, or do you know? Or her homework?
Well, she's been doing good. She's been doing very good, so
well,
I'm glad about that.
So
that's good. Yes, you do have an adorable little girl there. All right, so we look at some of let's talk about some of the starting ones. Of course, you know, we're going into week 12. The bye weeks are almost over. The playoffs are about to start. I think now we can really start looking at some of the fantasy implications, if you will. And matchups, really, believe it or not, as much as the good of a player you have, I am a firm believer that matchups play a key role in playing that particular person for that particular thing. Now, I would think, you know, I've not been on the Eli, even though I do have him on one of my leagues, I'm not been on the Eli Manning bandwagon. Michelle she likes Eli Manning. In fact, it was going to be her first pick no matter what. Who was Eli Manning? She's had some sufferings, we'll say, with Eli Manning. And Eli Manning has had a rough year as a quarterback. But I think now we can start to look at him. This game against against the Cowboys, you really do got to look at starting Eli Manning this week. The Cowboys are giving up the most fantasy points to passers this season. Manning has been consistently mediocre throughout 2013, as I just mentioned. However, his best game of the year was against Dallas when he threw four touchdowns in week one. So you would think that this would be a good week to start Eli Manning.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, Reuben Randall, he's hit the end zone six times in the last six or seven games. And look for Reuben Randall to get yards and a touchdown this game. If there is a game Hakeem Nicks can really play well, this is the game. Dallas, I mean, the last two games, they gave more than 600 yards to Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints. So I don't know if they're going to come out of the break with Monte Kiffin implementing more disciplined football. I just don't see it, especially with Sean Lee hurting, and he's a middle linebacker, and he's the one who normally makes plays, and even with him in the lineup, they gave all those yards to Detroit Lions. So I just don't know if the Cowboys have the horses to play that defense at a high level. I mean, they should have gone after Dwight Freeney, I thought, and well, Dwight Freeney goes to the wrong system, and he ends up on IR as well. So I just don't see how the Cowboys can turn around their defense. Maybe they can generate some turnovers and put some more pressure, blitz more, and do whatever, because Sean Lee is not there for them to play coverage in the middle. So that's what I expect them to do, to mix it up a little bit. So far, Rob Ryan of the New Orleans Saints is making Jerry Jones regret that move that he made to fire Rob Ryan.
So. Well, let's look at another quarterback here that I've got on my list here, Case Keenum. Maybe he should not have been benched in week 11, and Gary Kubiak would likely rethink the next time he pulls that trick, maybe based on the reaction of some of the Texans with Matt Schaub in the game. The Jags gave up 419 points passing to the Cardinals. So you would think that this would be the week to start Case Keenum.
Absolutely. I mean, the funny thing about the Jaguars' defense is they have to overcompensate because, I don't know, early in the season, if you notice, Knowshon Moreno ran for three touchdowns, then Chargers running backs, they ran all over the Jaguars. All running backs were running all over. And all of a sudden, Gus Bradley, who's a head coach but also a former defensive coordinator of the Seahawks and has a great defensive background, he just switches up something in order to get the run defense better, so at the cost of the pass defense. So basically now it is the opposite. Now your teams can just pass all over them as opposed to run all over them. So you don't get the production that you get out of your running backs that you used to get at the beginning of the season versus the Jags. So now passing is the way to go against the Jags. So you just have to kind of see what trends, and the recent trend is pointing towards passing production versus the Jaguars.
Well, one other quarterback that I'd like to talk about starting, certainly if you've got any you want to add, but I want to get through these in our limited time that we've got. Scott Tolzien, obviously they play the Vikings, and when you're playing the number 31 defense in the league, in term of points given up to opposing quarterbacks, you don't have to be Aaron Rodgers to put up decent numbers. And Tolzien posted over 300 yards last week, and he should be able to find the end zone this time around with another week starting under his belt. Maybe it with deeper leagues it would be a good start, but I think that he's a guy that you might want to look at starting.
Yes, definitely. I mean, Minnesota is just as bad versus the run as it is versus the pass as well, so expect Eddie Lacy to still get the lion's share of carries and production, but if they do gang up against the run, I do think at Green Bay, the game should be conducive for Tolzien to do some good passing. Only thing I'm not sure about is what's going to be the game day weather. You may want to check that. If it is going to be snowing and raining a lot, then chances are Eddie Lacy is going to get more production. So.
Right, and you know, I want to move into our running backs here now. Let's look at our situation with our running backs. I'm going to talk about some starting running backs. I think this is the week also you start Andre Brown. I haven't really been a big fan of his. I don't know that he's really been that stellar of a fantasy running back. But certainly Dallas has mauled for 244 yards and three touchdowns by the Saints. And running backs in Week 11, Brown is in sole possession of the Giants' backfield, I guess is the best way to put it. And he should see around 20 touches again this week. Again, going back to the matchup against the Cowboys, you may not want to look at this with other type of games, but I think you could expect finally some solid production from Andre Brown against the Cowboys.
Absolutely, yes. This game is, isn't it in New York?
I believe it is.
I do think the Giants' defense plays well, and the running backs normally play just as well at home. So I do expect Andre Brown. He's looked way more sharper and crisper than Brandon Jacobs filling in. So. It's a shame that I drafted David Wilson early on for him to just go on IR like that. So, but Andre Brown has been a pleasant surprise, and Eli Manning misses Ahmad Bradshaw so badly, I can tell. And Andre Brown at least gives him something close enough for production that Bradshaw gave.
Well, they could have Ahmad Bradshaw back for all I care, but that's a whole other story. That's for sure. We're talking about we're on the Fantasy Football Huddle here on the Balance, and talking with Axel, one of my co-team owners in a league that one of the leagues that I'm in, and certainly very well versed in fantasy football. We're talking about some starting running backs right now. Frank Gore at the Redskins. Again, going back to those matchups, his drop pass should scare owners off in a lot of ways. But the 49ers need to install the running game as the focal point in this game against the Redskins, and really that shouldn't be that difficult. The Redskins defense has allowed 13 touchdowns to opposing backs this season. Gore gets back on. I think you see a different Frank Gore in Week 12 than what you've seen throughout the entire year.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a reason why. I mean, Frank Gore's projected numbers tend to be lesser than someone like a Ray Rice or Noshan Marino because of less involvement in the passing game. And so, yes, those drop passes do scare you, but I do think the Redskins' defense is so porous, and the team is in a mental state of mess, too. So when things get going down, I mean, it's kind of like that team just falls apart. So they just haven't been able to win a close game. They dig a hole, they try to come back, and then basically fall short. I mean, it's been the team throughout the season, so I don't see anything different this game either. I expect the 49ers to start off and get a lead and rock the board with the running game. So that's what I expect.
Well, let's talk about the last guy I've got here on the list for starting running backs, Rashad Jennings. I mean, Tennessee's passing defense, I mean, well, we saw what they were able to do against Andrew Luck, you know, very, very up close and personal. And I think a legit worry for fantasy owners. Tennessee's run defense, though, I'm not so sure about. A fantasy owner's best friend in a lot of ways. The Titans have given up 2 touchdowns to opposing backs in each of the last 5 games. Jennings remains the primary back. And I don't know, after another impressive display, Axel, I say roll the dice with him. Take a gamble. Start Rashad Jennings this week.
Absolutely. If Donald Brown could go off on him, I bet Rashad Jennings can go off on him. And that's my scary thought, too. I mean, I hope he doesn't go off for 20-plus points or something because I'm playing Rashad Jennings in 2 different leagues. And he makes for a very dangerous flex with such a juicy matchup. I hope Greg Williams and the Titans defense basically decides to do something different on their run defense and hope the Titans can get off to a lead that's shutting down the Raiders' possibility of too many run plays being called. That's saving my fantasy day. but yes, Rashad Jennings is such a juicy matchup. So, yeah, you got to play him because I had Zach Stacy against the Titans a few weeks ago, and he just ran roughshod over him. I don't know. It's kind of like the first 4 or 5 games, the Titans were overachievers. I mean, on defense, they were playing outstanding. They shut down the Jets' running game. They shut down so many people, and then the wheels fell off. I think just before the bye week, 49ers came in town. They were shut down, and then Jake Locker went on IR. That also played a big part in for them to be able to control tempo and play well. So, I don't know. So, Ryan Fitzpatrick looked decent. So, maybe with that 10-day rest, they might actually jump out to a lead versus the Raiders. So, I don't know how it's going to go. It all depends on Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, yeah, we got to play Jennings.
Well, you know, I want to get through some of these here, so I'm just going to kind of go with a wide receiver, tight end, defense, and stuff. I know that there's – and, guys, certainly look at your team. Look at the how it's broken down, whether or not you use ESPN, NFL, CBS, what have you, as your facilitator for fantasy football. They've all got the write-ups and the articles there, and we're just touching on this. Certainly, if you've got questions, you can email me or you can send me a tweet at TBalance if you got questions, and we'll try to get those answered for you. If you'd like to call in, certainly give us a call, 917-889-8516. So I'm just going to kind of go with one player here in the next positions here so that we can get everybody in. And then, going back to the matchups, Jarrett Boykin in 2 games with Tolson under center, Boykin has posted 14 receptions and 203 yards, and he faces the Vikings defense that is now number 29 in the league in yards allowed, I should say. And Boykin is working well alongside Jordy Nelson in fantasy production. So, Boykin, get yourself a Boykin.
Yes, like I said, I just don't know how much wealth there is to spread around. This is not Aaron Rodgers we're talking about, so I just be careful. I mean, Eddie Lacy and Jordy Nelson are the surefire bets on that, and so the order of the looks chain, other stuff, probably Boykin is a good wide receiver 3. So if you have a deep league and you're have a shortage of options, yes, he's a good flex play today. But I'd still be careful of how the weather is going to turn out. And he's still number 3 in the picking order at best. So.
Right. And I think you should – I mean, I don't know. If you got anybody on the Packers and they're playing the Vikings, just go ahead and throw them in there. You'll probably have a good game. Well, I tell you what, and this is probably a little bit of bias on my part on this position. I like this guy. I think he was a great replacement for Dallas Clark. Although maybe he hasn't lived up to the potential that we think that he has. As a Colts fan, every week I put on my jersey, number 80, Colby Fleener. I think the Arizona Cardinals, this is a good matchup for him. And Arizona is unbelievably bad against tight ends. And Fleener posted a season-high 8 catches and for 107 yards in week 11. And I think, really, he should continue that success. And we talked earlier with Derek Schultz about how this is a must-win. And Andrew Luck is going to have to use all his weapons. But also keep in mind, Bruce Arians knows the Colts, knows what they're made of, knows their DNA. This could be a good opportunity, though, for Colby Fleener to do well in week 12.
Yep. Absolutely great matchup, and like you said, Andrew Luck has to use all his options. He just needs to qualify that with all his options that can catch the football. So that'll be T.Y. Hilton and Kobe Fleener, because nobody else, I mean, other than maybe Trent Richardson or Donald Brown as running back, will be a pass-catching option. I mean, it's kind of really sad, to be honest with you, what Luck has to work with, and thankfully Luck can scramble. And that has made a big, big difference in close games. And so, it's a must play. Warren Davis went off for 2 catches, I think, versus the Cardinals. And I think when the Texans played the Cardinals, I think it was Garrett Graham that went off for a touchdown. And it's kind of like a great matchup for Titans versus the Cardinals. I thought it would be better once Darrell Washington, their middle linebacker, came back from his 4-game suspension, that their tight end defense versus tight ends would improve, but apparently it's not. I don't know if what Bruce Arians is going to do about it. One thing Bruce Arians is going to notice is, hey, I never called enough running plays for my running backs. I mean, called enough passing plays for my running backs when I was with the Colts. The Colts really have changed. Except Hamilton is calling more catches to running backs.
Right, right.
One thing is, we were almost the bottom of the league in catches by running backs last year with the Bruce Arians. That has changed. And obviously, without Reggie Wayne, it needed to change.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I wish we had more time on the clock here. Unfortunately, the clock waits for nobody. That's gonna have to do it for our fantasy football huddle, guys. Just study your team. Probably most of your trade deadlines have come and passed. Certainly, maybe this week would be a good week to set Chris Ivory, Trent Richardson, Lamar Miller, Mike Wallace, Cecil Shorts. Those are Antonio Gates. Those are people that I had in the set column that we didn't really get a chance to talk with. It's Thanksgiving. Is Thanksgiving week. Certainly take some time with your families. And Chad and Axel, Chad, a.k.a. Axel, we appreciate you being with us today, sir. And I hope you have yourself a great Thanksgiving with you and your family.
You too, Tom.
Axel and I have been playing fantasy football together for years. He's a good personal friend of mine. Love having him on the show. Well, it's our Thanksgiving show, and some of the things that maybe we want to think about, and we want, even though yes, we it's a time for family. It's a time for to come together and take a day off and eat and watch football and do the things of the family tradition, watch the Macy's Day Parade. Those are all great traditions. But certainly during this time of year, and we've got to time and be thankful, really, for what we have. As a family, cherish your family. Take some time not only to play football with them, but maybe take that sibling aside and let him know how much he means to you or she means to you or your parents. And maybe it's a time to mend fences, and maybe it's a time to set back and really look at what Thanksgiving means to you. Certainly, with all the listeners that we have all over the nation, I know that tradition is changing, and maybe you're one of those people. This isn't going to be such a great Thanksgiving for you. You wish that it would just go away. Maybe you're having a problem feeding your family. Maybe you don't know if you'll even have the next meal, let alone Thanksgiving. We talk about all the big turkeys and stuff that come together, but maybe you're one of those people who don't have that. Well, our thoughts and prayers go out to you. And I hope that you're able to have a good Thanksgiving, and perhaps maybe in your area there's a place you can go to get that. And don't be prideful. If you need help, you know, certainly reach out. There are a lot of organizations out there this time of year that will help. So certainly thank God for what you have and spend some time as a family and thank everyone. And, you know, I do this every year. I try not to get emotional, but we need to take time to thank God for what we have. Thank God for our country. Thanksgiving is an American holiday, yes, but we shouldn't just have one day a year to be thankful for what we have. We should be thankful every day for what we have. Guys, my name is Saul Mark with El Presidente, and as you're enjoying your festivities this year, remember, don't drink and drive. Don't drink too much at all, and don't eat too much, and don't gain too much weight. All of those things probably are good advice to take. My name is Saul Mark with El Presidente. Hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. I'm out of here. I'll see you next Saturday. Again, we're going to do this thing all over again right here on The Balance.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.